Good morning. We stand at the beginning of Lent. And as we always do on this occasion, our gospel is one or another the accounts of Jesus' fast and temptation in the desert. This year, of course, it's the Lucan version. Very specific about the temptations. Very dramatic about the fast.
They all say he fasted for 40 days.
Luke is more specific.
He ate nothing during those days. 40 days without food. And you thought the fast regulations in the church were tough.
By that time, he is very much open to suggestion for the devil by his own unconscious, by delusions, by hallucinations, by anything, after 40 days without food. But he has the strength and the focus that comes from what he's been doing during those 40 days, his communion with his God, to answer each of the temptations with an appropriate line from the Word of God. And we're not asked to do a 40-day fast without any food at all. In fact, we don't fast very much. We'll come back to that later in this Lenten series. But we are asked to make a commitment to do this 40-day period as a serious time of preparation for the Feast of Easter, to celebrate the Passover, to participate in the dying and rising of the Lord. And we need to decide up front that we're really going to do that and get serious about it early on, or it'll get away from us very quickly. The metaphor we're using for the liturgies of Lent this year is the garden. Garden. What a pleasant thought. It means ground. That you can actually see ground. I saw some yesterday. It was a wonderful sight. I hadn't seen it in weeks. Hope. Spring will come. Ground will reappear. There will be a possibility to put in a garden. But have you ever said to yourself, you know, I think I'll put the garden in this year. Yep. I think I will get around to it. I will put the garden in this year. I'm going to do that. Nah, it's too late to do it now. By the time you get around to it, it's too late. You can't put anything in and get any fruit out of it. You need to get started early and make the commitment. Same way with Lent. It's very easy to come for ashes on Ash Wednesday and then turn around and say, oh, Palm Sunday this Sunday already? I guess I should do something about Lent. Well, it's a little late on Palm Sunday. So the first item on the checklist that we'll be looking at during the season is to commit to the garden. Yep. Really am going to do that this year. And start doing it. And keep doing it. Work at it day by day. That's what we need to do. The symbol for that is the wheelbarrow. Sitting in front of the altar. Wheelbarrow is a very useful tool. It's also great when you're little for wheelbarrow rides. Anybody here remember wheelbarrow rides? But you know, it doesn't do anything. It's not a plow or a rake or a shovel or a hoe. All it does is get stuff there. It takes the tools out to the garden. Takes the fertilizer out to the garden from the compost pile. Notice I said fertilizer? You know that story? Anybody here remember Harry Truman? Harry was whistle-stopping during the campaign one time. And he, from the back of the train, he's talking to this little farm in town. He says, now, I was a farmer myself. And even when I gave up the farm and went into town and opened the store, all my customers have been farmers. I know what it takes to make a good farm. You got to have a good piece of land,
And a lot of hard work, manure, and more manure, and more manure. The local senator leaned over and said, Bess, couldn't you get Harry to say fertilizer? Hell, Senator. It took me 4 years to get him to say manure. The wheelbarrow does that. At the end of the season, carries your fruits from the garden back into the house. It doesn't actually do it, but it's an essential component of getting everything done from the beginning to the end. Makes it a good symbol for this. Commit to it. Get serious about it. Determine that you're going to do it. And together with that set of metaphors, we have locked into a set of spiritual disciplines to talk about during Lent, to think about, to actually practice. First one is hospitality. Now that needs to be rethought a little from its ordinary meaning. Normally we think of hospitality as the offering of food and drink to guests. There is the hospitality industry, which is hotels, restaurant keepers, and tavern keepers. And then there is the hospitality that you and I do when we have people over for dinner. Well, yeah, but that's too narrow a definition. Hospitality is more than just providing food and drink to visitors. Hospitality is truly welcoming, truly being open. And fundamentally, noticing that there are people out there. It's very easy for us to get closed up in ourselves. It's a natural process that we all fall into a lot more often than we think we do. We wind up thinking, although if we thought about it, we'd reject it immediately, but we wind up thinking and acting as though the world were about us. And it's not. There is a world out there with real people in it, just as real as I am, with their own hopes and their own dreams and their own fears and their own tasks. Reaching out beyond that little circle that subscribes me, welcoming those people and their concerns. That's what hospitality is about. It's also, even more fundamentally, being open to God, who is absolutely with us, who is loving us more than we can imagine, forgiving us more than we deserve, empowering us more than we ever take advantage of, always there. Be hospitable to the presence of God in your life. That's basically what faith means in our context. This faith that Paul is talking about in the second reading, this is not the assertion of a set of propositions. This is a recognition of God's activity in our lives, both individually and as a people. Our creeds have always been fundamentally historical. Well, there are doctrinal elements to them, but they're more historical than doctrinal. Listen to that creed in the first reading. What do you say when you bring your first fruits to the altar? My father was a wandering Aramean, Abraham. And he went down to Egypt with a small family. But we grew, and they oppressed us. And God stepped in with a strong hand and outstretched arm and brought us out of slavery. We recount the history of what God has done for us. This is Israel's creed. To look beyond the details of its own life, see the action of God. Our creed goes the same way. Oh, yeah, there are doctrinal safeguards in there, put in by later councils when we were afraid people were going off the deep end one way or the other. Phrases, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, consubstantial with the Father, all that stuff. But that's not primarily what our creed is about. Primarily, our creed talks about the history of God's dealing with us. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We get immediately to what God has done for us. We talk about the second person of the Trinity. It's not a discourse that dwells forever on this true God from true God. We do that as poetically as possible and then move on. That he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate. Why under Pontius Pilate? Doesn't matter. It could have been somebody else. But giving the name, the historical particular, it nails it down. This time, this place, a real historical event. That he really did die. That he really was raised. That he really will come. Same way when we talk about the Spirit. Yeah, there's a couple of doctrinal safeguards in there for the Trinity. But primarily it's about what the Spirit does in our history. That the Spirit raises up the prophets. That the Spirit dwells in the church. That the Spirit gives us the baptism. That the Spirit gives us the forgiveness of sins. That the Spirit gives us the hope of the resurrection. All of these historical elements. Look outside your own little world. And see God active in your life and in the life of the world. Look outside your own little encapsulated self and see your brothers and sisters whom God cares about the same way. And then make a commitment. During this Lent, I am going to be more hospitable. I'm going to be more open to the activity of God in my life. I'm going to be more open to my brothers and sisters. And I'm going to see where that leads. And I'm going to work at all these spiritual disciplines. Use all the tools that my wheelbarrow carries out to the garden. That I am this year not going to look up by Palm Sunday and say, gee, I guess it's too late to plant the garden now. I'm going to open up the soil and create a garden into my soul where God's Word can bear fruit. Commit to it. Commit to it now. We have only 40 days to get it done. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.